This is an RNIB Connect radio podcast.
Now, will writing can sometimes feel overwhelming, which is why we are bringing in some experts today to help answer all of your frequently asked questions. And joining me now is Helen Smith and Daniel Pepper from the RNIB Legacy team. It is lovely speaking with you today.
Thank you so much for having us. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, thank you, Paulina.
Well, you have some questions that you are going to answer, the most common ones you get. So what is the first one?
So I suppose the first one that we get asked the most and which has come through is, why should I have a will? People think, I'll not be here, so why should I bother having a will? That's a huge question, and there's lots of different answers.
And for some people, it's a matter of, oh, the initial fear is it's going to be expensive, which it doesn't necessarily have to be. And it's also, oh, the trouble of doing it. Now, there are services where lawyers and solicitors will come to your home to take your instructions. The overriding importance of having a will is to make sure that, A, your wishes are honoured and that the people you want to receive your estate and benefit from your will actually benefit. If you do not make a will, you will die what is commonly known as intestate, without a will. And the law will then say, OK, you didn't have a will, therefore, we will look into your family tree, your family history, and we will find your nearest relatives, as what the law calls blood relatives, and they will benefit. Now, that may be okay for some people. The law will distribute it as they think appropriate. So children will get a percentage. If there is a spouse, the spouse will get a percentage. But there may be people who are more distant family, who are the only beneficiaries, and you may not want them to receive anything.
Yeah. One of the things I hear a lot is, I haven't got anything to leave. But the thing is that if you have got children, especially if they're under the age of 18, having a will is absolutely critical, isn't it?
It is. Most people feel, God forbid anything was to happen to me, the kids will be fine. Well, you appoint a guardian in your will. That guardianship will automatically come into force as soon as you pass away. If you don't, there will be a hiatus. In other words, until things are settled down and family members come forward, there is a distinct possibility that your children will be taken into care by the local authority and social services until matters are sorted out. So it's vitally important, if you have young children, that you appoint guardians. It is very rare, but bearing in mind families and husband and wives and partners do travel independently of their children, and sadly, rarely it does happen.
Absolutely. People say, you know, I haven't got anything to leave, or I'm leaving it all to the children, or the children will get it all. It's like a really common misconception. And I think it leads into why everyone should have a will. It might not be about money or property or possessions. It might just be about, as Daniel said at the beginning, your wishes. It might be what you want to happen. You can rely on people to carry out your wishes. You know, if you anecdotally, you've told them that this is what I want to happen, this is what I want to be done. But grief does funny things to people. So that for me would be the bottom line as to why it's so important to have a will, just to make sure that all those angles are covered and there is no room for error or misinterpretation or misrepresentation.
I think it sounds like it all comes down to just having that peace of mind, that extra layer of security. Now, what other question do you hear a lot?
I suppose people say, how much is it going to cost? And the bottom line here is that we can't tell you what it's going to cost. It depends very much on your estate and the complexity of your will. And I'll let Daniel pick up on the detail of that, because that's very much his area of expertise.
It is. When you consider making a will, it's very important that you have clearly in your mind what you want. So most important thing to start off with is, who are you going to appoint as your executors? Who are the people that you would like to look after and administer your estate once you've gone? That's very important. It's normally close family members, children, brothers, sisters, etc. And you know that the estate is in safe hands and they will honour your wishes. The other thing is, who do you actually want to benefit from your will? Now, If you appoint executors, executors can be beneficiaries of your will. That's not a problem. However, they cannot be witnesses to your will. And your advisor who's preparing your will advise you of the people who can witness. Anybody over the age of 18 who has capacity, who is not a beneficiary in the will, can sign. The other important thing is if you have specific gifts, so maybe family jewellery, a family car, anything like that, you can either put in the will or you can have a letter of wishes which goes with your will to just say, I want the car to go here or I want the jewellery to go there. It's probably better to put it in the will so that there is, as Helen said, absolutely no ambiguity. The family know that this is the jewellery and it's going to this individual. And then who is getting any cash gifts, like you may want to leave a friend, £5,000. Once all those are out of the way, those are what we call specific or pecuniary gifts. And then you have the residue, which is the balance of everything. So it's any property you have, any houses, any assets, savings, investments, bank accounts, anything. That goes effectively into our big pot. And what is normally suggested is that you distribute that in shares, if that's what you want, either percentage or fractions. And then once you've got that, the other important thing, which people not tend to forget, but it's not uppermost in their mind because the important aspect is actually making the will, is make sure that your executors, the people that you want to look after, know and are willing to do it. Let them know where your original will is, because that will be needed at the appropriate time and they will need to know where it is. So it's very important that A, you ask them, because they may not want to do it and it may come as a surprise to them that they are appointed. If you wish, you could give them a copy if you feel comfortable in doing that, but knowing where the original will is absolutely vital.
I think the other thing, Daniel, around that people aren't considering, that's coming up more and more as a question, is around online assets. So online assets aren't necessarily covered, are they, unless they're specifically mentioned in a will? Is that right?
It's a grey area because it's such a new asset, such as Bitcoin. It's very important that with all of technology that you have a list of where they are and also passwords. I know that there is this misnomer of, oh, if I write all my passwords down, somebody breaks into the house, they may find it. If you keep it nicely kept away, burglars are looking for the expensive stuff to steal. They're not going to be searching in drawers to find your list of passwords. But it is very important that if you do have electronic and digital assets, that your executors, A, know that they are there, and B, know how to access them. Now, that could be if you're getting a solicitor to do your will, that can be something that you could actually leave with your solicitor to advise your executors at the time you pass away. But it is important that that forms part of your asset list and that people are able to access it.
Well, we have covered quite a bit, but there's still a little bit more we can talk about. So what is another question your team hears a lot?
I suppose that one of the big ones that my team hears a lot is it really free? Can you make a will for free? You know, is there any such thing? Yes, there is. So you can use charity free will services. You can go on there. You can make a will. In some cases, you can speak to a solicitor, and it is a free service. And there is no obligation to leave a gift to charity. Obviously, we offer these services in hope that people will consider us with a gift in their will, because it's such a vital income stream for RNIB. Over a third of our donated income came from gifts in wills, and it is critical for the future development and the services that we're able to provide for people going forward. Where it becomes a little bit less free is if the estate's complex. So if you start moving into trusts and you start moving into complex gift patterns, then there is sometimes an additional charge on top. But that should be discussed at the time when you're making your will, and it should be clear from the outset that that's not going to be covered under the scheme. I think the thing is as well, is that to RNIB, we would always strongly advise that people get professional legal advice when making the will. It seems like there might be a cost to that now, but the money that can save in the future, if the will goes wrong or if it's contested or if you forget to put somebody in, it really is making sure that your will is robust.
I think there are two elements that I consider. One is more and more people now have assets abroad. They have a property in Spain, property in Europe somewhere, France. It's very important that when making your will in the UK, that you consider whether your will covers assets abroad. Now, it may well be you will need to write a will in that country to cover the assets that you have. And after Brexit, the reciprocal agreements between European countries and Britain have been changed, and it's vitally important that you obtain advice on that. And it's obviously important that you let your executors here in the UK know that there is a foreign will, where it's kept, who the executors are in that country, so that when the time comes and the estate is being administered, it's clear, it's unambiguous, and it's accepted and valid in the two countries or even more countries that those assets are held in. So that's vitally important. The other element which can complicate matters is inheritance tax, sometimes known as death duty. A lot of people are against it, but it is a part of the administration process. Most solicitors and will makers will have a person who will advise you independently on your tax position and how best to reduce your tax liability when the time comes. There are very, very many ways that that can be reduced, but that will depend on your individual circumstances, the assets that you hold, and the beneficiaries who you want to benefit.
And we still have, I think, a couple questions to cover. So let's jump on to another one.
So one of the things also that we get asked quite often is around specific items. So there's different ways to define specific items within your estate. So, for example, I leave my grandmother's wedding ring to my niece, and you'd name your niece within the will. But there's also where people leave what are called chattels to a charity. And in those cases, it's really important to be specific. So the question that came out of that was, if I leave everything to charity, will my daughter be able to have my engagement ring and my wedding photos? The simple answer is no, unless they're specifically mentioned in a will. And this puts charities into quite a difficult position. Obviously, we want to be balanced between what's right for the charity and what's right for the family. But also, we are bound by certain rules through the Charity Commission. And that can sometimes put us in a little bit of a pickle, can't it?
It can. Charities have a duty to maximise an estate for the benefit of the people they support. So RNIB, like all charities, have to balance, as Helen said, between maximising the estate for the benefit of people with sight loss and being conscious of the family and the fact that they have lost a loved one. And there may be personal items that the family would require. Anything of emotional value, photographs, that sort of thing, that's not the issue. It's when there are valuable items, valuable watches, jewellery, cars, collections of stamps, there can be anything. It's much better to put those in your will so there is absolutely no ambiguity. It can be a few lines in the will. It's not going to affect the impact on the price of a will if there is a fee, unless you have hundreds of them, and then you would probably be advised against doing loads of them and look at other ways of giving. Again, it's down to peace of mind.
Well, I think we have time for one more question. So once again, over to both of you, Helen and Daniel.
The last question that we're going to cover today is, how do people know where my will is? How do people know that I've died? How do people know that I've made a will? And this is a really complicated area, particularly for people who perhaps live on their own, perhaps for people who don't have close family. And it is something that we come across quite a lot. Knowing where your will is and having your executors know where your will is, as Daniel says, is super important. But what if those executors are solicitors, for example? How do we make sure that people know?
It is an interesting area. And as you say, Helen, where you have people who don't have immediate family, some will appoint solicitors to act as executors. And a lot of solicitors now will offer a will storage facility. Most of the time, it's a one-off payment, not a huge amount of money, but that will be in secure storage. And again, the executors will be advised that solicitors are holding the will so that when the time comes, it can be easily accessed. I think the element that a lot of people do get concerned about is, as Helen mentioned, how do people know that I've passed away? If your executors are close to you, they're going to know, and the chances are, if they're family or close friends, they will probably be the ones that will contact the solicitors if they're storing the will or whoever else is holding the will, and they will take it from there. You can store the will with HMCTS, Her Majesty's Courts and Tribunal Service, which is part of the Ministry of Justice. If you go onto the government website and search will storage, you will have a portal there which will be able to assist you. This is something which at the moment is voluntary. There have been calls in the past to have a national will registering scheme, which is mandatory. So it would be part of making your will would actually be the registration of it. I personally feel that that would be an excellent idea, but it would obviously be costly to set up. There would be a cost to the individual, but long-term benefits of everybody knowing that their will is registered, they know where it is, and there is no question that a will could be lost or destroyed.
Absolutely. As I said, Paulina, we get asked lots and lots of questions, and that's what we're here for. And whilst we can't give legal advice, we can certainly give information and point people in the right direction for these and many other questions that they might have.
Well, I think the easiest way to do that is through the RNAB helpline, with the number being 0303 123 9999. Well, Daniel Pepper, Helen Smith from the RNAB Legacy Team, thank you so much for sharing your wealth of knowledge on will writing with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paulina. It's a pleasure.
This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.